Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
This is going to be a little bit a different keynote from usual. The purpose of the keynote is to be just that, a key note or message from God for the whole week. And the reason why we spend a longer time listening to the Word on Tuesday is not because I'm speaking, because sometimes other people do the keynote, but it's so that God can set the scene for the week. Now, what should happen, therefore, on all subsequent days in the week at the 8 o'clock, is this theme should be followed through. So we should have had this last week a whole week of unity, which was the theme last week. Purpose isn't for people to come and just with some word about some other subject, and edifying though that might be, but we really take seriously what God is saying to us through the keynote. We're working it through in the student life groups. We're working it through every morning. So there's not too much talk, but more prayer and more worship on the other mornings as we allow the Holy Spirit to really work that word in us and through our lives. So when you students have your time on Thursday morning, it's a good time to share any prophetic words that God has spoken to you about the unity and share some testimonies of what God is doing in you through that particular theme. Well, that was this past week. I think sometimes some folks have got a little bit away from the purpose of the keynote, and we've had all kinds of other things happening. But, you know, when God speaks, we need to really follow through so that that word finds substance in our lives. It's not just, well, we hear something, and yeah, that's good. Yes, we needed to hear that, and we pray for a few minutes at the end, and then we move on to something else. No, a keynote is a key note, and therefore it's crucial to what God is doing, and that message of unity was crucial. And so we should be in a place now of being more at one with God and more at one with one another than we were a week ago. So, today, which is our last keynote of the term, the last keynote I should be doing for a few weeks because I'm going on placement to France. Slightly different from most of your placements, but nevertheless, I shall enjoy it. We're going to talk about your favorite subject this morning.
Obedience.
Yes, I knew you'd like to finish the college year with your favorite subject. Now, we need to understand two important things about obedience. Obedience comes, first of all, out of a submitted heart. What God is concerned about in every believer is that the heart of that believer is submitted to him for his purposes in his or her life. So as you go out for your placements in these coming weeks, you're going out with submitted hearts. Submitted to the Lord, because if you have a submitted heart, then obedience is not too much of a problem. Now, having a submitted heart is not obedience. This is where we can fool ourselves if we say, oh Lord, you know, I submit my heart to you. I want your will. I want your way. I want your purpose in my life. All good stuff, but that's still not obedience. It's an attitude and disposition of the heart, but that submission has to give birth to obedience. And obedience is actually doing what the Lord tells you to do because you have a submitted heart. Now, God knows that he can only use a person in proportion to the way their hearts are submitted to him. Are we hearing this? You see, there's no point in him giving somebody an order, a command, if he knows that the heart of that person is not in a place of right submission, so that command will be obeyed. Amen? You can see the way God uses other people, especially, you know, people that perhaps you look up to, you see on platforms here, there and everywhere, and you read their books and you see them in the conferences and all the rest of it. You can see the way God uses them, but what you can't see is the submission in their hearts that has enabled God to use them like that. Remember, Jesus says that you have to prove faithful in little things before he puts you in charge of bigger things. So there aren't any shortcuts. And the more submitted you are to the Lord, the more he can use you. Now, he wants to use you in the various ways in which he is calling each of us. In talking about obedience, we're really talking about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, first of all, enables and works in our hearts to bring us to this place of submission. That is a real work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. But to be in the place of submission is to acknowledge Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's the Lord over every area of my life. I want him to be Lord over the details of my life today and every day. Now, that's the right attitude of heart that the Holy Spirit can work in us, but we still haven't done anything. Just an attitude of heart means we're ready to work, but not that we've actually done the work. So, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us to bring us to a deeper and greater submission to his authority, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, so that God can then use us in greater ways. So it isn't just, oh Lord, use me to bear more fruit. He certainly wants to do that. But it's, Lord, I want to be in the place of submission to you so that you can use me to bear more fruit. Now, the outworking of that is when the Holy Spirit speaks through his word, or when we're praying, or through some prophetic utterance. But when we hear God speak, we will obey because of the submission that he's worked in our hearts. Are you there?
Yes.
You see, if you have a submitted heart, when God speaks, you will obey because of the submission of your heart. What you see in some Christians is every time that God wants them to do something, there's a battle of wills. They know what God is saying, but they don't want to do it, and sometimes they don't do it. Well, what is the problem there? The problem is the nature of the heart. The heart is not really submitted to the Lord. Now, what Jesus says is, if you love me, your heart will be submitted to me. He didn't quite say that, did he? He said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. But what does that mean? You will obey my commands because your heart is submitted to me. If you really love me, then you will be submitted to me. You see, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And wives are to be submitted to the husband, as some of us were seeing yesterday, but that is a response to the way that the husband is submitted to the Lord and therefore loves like the Lord. Are we there? So, we are in the place where the Holy Spirit is constantly wanting to work that deeper submission, or you could say that greater love. You see, it doesn't matter which way you look at it, the end product is going to be the same. A greater love for Jesus is a greater submission to his will. Now, when God deals with our hearts in that way, he shows us the ways in which our hearts are not submitted to his will, so that we can repent of those things, not only be forgiven, but we can have a change of heart, change of mind. There can be real repentance, so that in the future there will be a different heart attitude. Hello? Now, this is what Jesus calls the pruning that the Father does in each branch to make that branch more fruitful still. Taking the things of self out so that the heart is more fully yielded to the will and the purpose of God. So while you've been here, all you students during the past year and members of the team have been here for longer, God has been constantly at work in your heart to bring you to a greater submission to his will. That means he has been bringing you into a greater love for him. So you can't separate the two, because if you love the Lord, Jesus says, you will obey. Now, the heart submission is not the obedience. The obedience is the outworking of the heart submission. Are we there? Now, the Holy Spirit is remarkable, as you would expect, because he is God. Now, in every one of us here, there is the same Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Holy Spirit will work the same dynamics of God's life and character in all of us. He will want to produce the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in every one of us. There's only one fruit. There are not nine fruits. One fruit with nine flavors, people usually say. But it's one fruit. If the Holy Spirit is operating, all nine of those things will be growing and developing in your life. It isn't that you'll say, well, Lord, I need more love, but never mind the patience. Everything, all nine will be growing together. And so if you feel weak on one thing, that shows that you're weak on all of them, actually, because it's just an indication, just an encouragement to know that God wants to produce more in you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit can produce those things, you see, the more you are submitted to him. Hello? Because, the less submitted you are to him, the more dependent upon yourself you are, and the more dependent upon yourself, the more soulish. But we gave that up earlier in the term. So we've lost our souls, haven't we?
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. So we're not going to be depending upon ourselves. We're going to be depending upon the Spirit. And therefore, the Spirit is able to produce those nine and more, of course, but all those different qualities of the character of God in every one of us. So every one of us has grown in love and joy and peace and so on. Even the patience. Now, not only is the Holy Spirit doing that same work in all of us, but the Holy Spirit is doing a different work in each of us. This is the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. He can do the same work in all of us and a different work in each of us. This is because, of course, he is dealing with each one of us personally and individually. But, as Paul makes clear when he's talking about the body of Christ, we are all different members with different functions, with different callings. And the only way that you can fulfill that calling is by dependence on the Holy Spirit. So this same Spirit who creates the same life in all of us is the one in whom we can trust to do the particular and specific things that are key and crucial to our specific calling from God. So Paul says there are varieties of working, but the same Spirit. So this same Spirit is creating the same life within us, and yet at the same time, he gives that distinctive anointing for the distinctive ministries to which he's calling us. Now, the obedience comes out in both these ways. Being submitted to the life of the Spirit enables the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us. Amen? And therefore, even if you don't see the difference because you're aware of the process that is going on within you, others will see the difference in you. It'd be interesting. We haven't got time to do it this morning, but an interesting exercise. Perhaps you can do it in your life groups this morning, the students, just to go around and for each person to be told by the other members of the group how they've changed during the course of the year, so that now more of Jesus is seen in them. It'd be very encouraging. Yes. And usually when you do that, you find, wow, that's the very area I've been struggling with. And you see, the point is you've been focusing on that, so things have been changing and others have seen the change. So it's, you probably, as it's the last life group of the year, you probably want tea and cakes or something, but you can do a little bit of encouraging around the tea and the cakes. Amen. It won't take very long, but it will build you up and encourage you and make the tea taste better and the cake more digestible.
Come on. Amen.
Cook breakfast.
Yes.
Come on.
You're kidding. We're in recession. No, not in the kingdom. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you because I'm going to go on till lunch.
Come on.
Now, the distinctive anointing that is on you will enable you to do the specific things that God is asking of you. So, as you go out on your placements, it's good to know that not only do you have that working of the Spirit within you, changing and transforming you, with increasing glory into his likeness. But at the same time, God is equipping you for what you're going to have to do during the coming weeks. The anointing is there. Yes. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to do the distinctive things that he's asking of you. Now, the obedience is to do those things. trusting him, trusting in the Spirit. Even if they're the things, you see, that in the natural you feel you can't do. That's the whole purpose of God asking you to do them, because he's wanting to teach you to trust in his Spirit. Are we there? So we need these submitted hearts so that when God speaks, there isn't a battle, there isn't a fight. You know, sometimes there might be an immediate reaction of, ugh. But then immediately faith rises up within you and you say, yes, Lord. Yes, I know you will enable me to do that. You know, like the first time you went to Tinsley, some of you were probably in fear and trepidation. And then you came back saying, wow, I didn't know God could use me like that. And that's the fruit of trusting him. So some of you might have a bit of fear and trepidation as to what lies ahead of you during these coming weeks. But you are going to overcome. You are going to obey. You're going to be faithful. You're going to be obedient. And you see, the Lord rewards the faithfulness with fruitfulness. You see, it's the faithful that are fruitful. The faithful that bear much fruit and much lasting fruit that will give glory to the Father and so will actually enable you to reap a reward. Amen. The reward, you remember, is for the lasting fruit, yes? That crown that awaits you. You won't get the crown at the end of your placement, but you will be 5 weeks further towards the time when you will receive your crown. Right, now, the different thing that God has laid on my heart for us to do this morning is to read the Word of God together. That's why you need your Old Testaments, because we're going to use a section of the Old Testament. Now, what we're going to do is, we're going to read the longest chapter in the Bible. What is the subject of the longest chapter in the Bible? Obedience to the Word of God. So we're all going to turn to Psalm 119. I've never been in a meeting where the whole psalm has been read before. But now listen, I'm not going to read it. You are. What I'm going to do is pass the handheld mic around, and each person is going to read one verse. And then pass on to the next person. Now listen carefully, because there's certain things you've got to do in this. There are one or two odd verses that I would jump in and read, because they're about the disobedient, and we don't have any disobedient ones here. So I'll read those for you. But I believe that it's going to work out that you are going to read out something that's prophetic for you. This is what the Lord told me. People will be seated in the place where the verse or verses that they read out are going to be of particular significance to them. Wait a minute, we haven't started yet. Now, you're not allowed to select your verse, you see. And you're not allowed to skip a verse if you think the following verse is better than the one you're about to read. But I'm telling you this because you're not just reading a verse, you're hearing what God is saying. Now, You're hearing what he's saying through the whole psalm. But because we're reading this psalm through the eyes of the New Testament, there's just one or two words we're going to change. Not changing the sense, but bringing out the meaning, like we do in the Truth Translation. Now, there are various... I've got the NIV here, and there's various words like statutes, precepts, and decrees. What are they? Well, for the benefit of all our students, especially overseas students, they are all different ways of saying commands. So we're going to use the word command. So if you've got a verse with precept, decree, or what was the other one? Statutes. Just say commands, then everybody will understand what you're meaning. Okay? Now, it talks about the law, right? Instead of the law, which refers to the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, put in the word word, because we keep not just the Torah, but the whole of God's word. So where you see the word law, you just use the word word. Where it says laws, I don't know what the New King James says, but actually the Hebrew means judgments. Your judgments. So if you come across the word laws, then you put in the word judgments. Okay? Now, we're going to pray first, because anything without anointing is a waste of time. But when God anoints something, he uses it. And what we want to do is two things. What I believe the Lord, or the reason why the Lord is prompting us to do this, is first of all for us to see how again and again and again in this psalm, it's seen that obedience comes out of submitted hearts. And secondly, that obedience is right at the heart of God's purpose and brings with it tremendous fruit and rewards. And you know, we can look at just one section, because it's divided into eight verse sections, isn't it? And you can get edified. But when you get the impact of the whole thing, as I was reading through it earlier this morning, it's amazing how, you know, you are impacted in a different way as God repeats the same thing again and again. It's like a prayer. Much of it is like a prayer. Praying that we will have those submitted hearts, praying that we will be obedient to the Lord out of our love for him, of course, praying therefore that we will see all the benefits, the blessings, the fruit, the promises fulfilled that he says will come with obedience. So let's just pray. You can stay sitting down. Just, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is spirit and life. And we thank you, Lord, that as we read this word this morning, this psalm, we're all going to hear from you. And thank you that you are going to have specific things to say to each one of us as we read this word. But Lord, we also ask that our hearts will be impacted afresh by reading the whole thing and seeing in its entirety what impact you want it to have upon our hearts and lives. So we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Okay, so you'll need to keep both mics up so that when I jump in... We'll start with Pastor Paul, because he's a man with no fear. Amen. So he'll do verse 1 and then Pastor Jonathan, verse 2, and so on.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the word of the Lord.
Can I just before we get any further, we'll start again, you can do it again. If you're an overseas student and you have in front of you the Bible in your own language, you can read it out in your own language, and we will follow in our language. And God, I believe, will understand both. Okay, let's start again.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the word of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his commands and seek him with all their heart.
They do nothing wrong and they walk in his ways.
You have laid down your commands that are to be fully obeyed. Amen.
Oh, that my ways were steadfast and obeying your command.
Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands.
I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous words.
I will keep your commands. Oh, do not forsake me utterly.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for and of you and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander and step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, for your commandments.
I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your commands.
With my lips I recount all the judgments that come from your mouth.
I rejoice in following your commands, as one rejoices in great riches.
I will meditate on all your commands and contemplate your ways.
I will delight in your commands and not forget your word.
Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word.
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me.
My soul is consumed with longing for your word at all times.
You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments.
Yeah, do the next verse, because I was going to read that one. I was getting so...
Thank you.
So caught up in what God was doing, I forgot to say it. Do verse 22.
Verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies.
Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servants will meditate on your decrees.
I am laid down in the dust, preserved my life according to your word.
When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your commands.
Let me understand the teaching of your commands, then I will meditate on your wonders.
My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word.
Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your word.
I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws.
I cling to your laws, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame.
I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your commands. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your word and obey it with all my heart.
Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight.
Turn my heart towards your commands and not towards selfish gain.
Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, idols, and idolatry, and restore me to vigorous life and health in your ways.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared.
Take away the disgrace I dread, for your commands are good.
Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word.
So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word.
Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your judgments.
I will always obey your word forever and ever.
I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Oh, thank you, Lord.
I will speak of your commands before kings and will not be put to shame.
For I delight in your commands because I love them.
My hands also have lived up to your commandments which I love, and I've meditated on your commands.
Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope.
My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life.
The arrogant mock me without restraint, but I do not turn from your law.
I remember your ancient laws, O Lord, and I find comfort in them.
Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law.
Your commands are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions.
This is my happy way of life, obeying your commandments.
You're my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words.
I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise.
I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands.
Je me hâte, je ne diffère point d'observer tes commandements.
Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law.
At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous judgments.
I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your commands.
The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your commands.
Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord.
Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandment.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word.
You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your commands.
Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law.
It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your commands.
The word of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver.
Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments.
Quand ceux qui te révèrent me verront, ils seront pleins de joie, car je me fie à ta parole.
Je sais, ô Éternel, que tes jugements sont justes. C'est par fidélité que tu m'as humilié.
May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant.
Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your word is my delight.
May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precept.
May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your commands.
May my heart be blameless towards your command, that I may not be put to shame.
My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word.
My eyes feel looking for your promise, I see. When will you comfort me?
I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I will not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law.
All your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me and am without cause.
They almost finished me off, but I refuse to abandon your commandments.
Persevere my life according to your love, and I will obey your commands, the commands of your mouth.
Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures.
Your word endures to this day, for all things serve you.
If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction.
If I will never forget your commands, for by them you have renewed my life.
Save me, I'm all yours. I look high and low for your words of wisdom.
The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes, your laws. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless.
Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day.
Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation.
Somebody afraid to read verse 100?
Sorry. I lost
verse 100.
The verse, yes. I understand more than the ancient because I have kept thy commandments.
I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word.
I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Verse It's the hair that does it.
I gain understanding from your commands, therefore I hate every wrong path.
Come on, Sam.
Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path.
I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous judgments.
I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word.
इसलिए मैं तेरे सब कवानीन को बरहक जानता हूँ और हर झूठी राह से मुझे नफरत है.
God is great.
Oh my goodness, okay. Though I constantly take my own life in my hands, I will not forget your law.
The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts.
Your commands are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
I hate double-minded men, but I love your word.
You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word.
Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commands of my God.
Amen. It's all right, he wasn't talking to you. So.
Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not put to shame, so not be put to shame in my hope.
Hold me up, so I will be safe, and I will always have respect for your law.
You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross, therefore I love your statutes.
My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your commands.
I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors.
My eyes fail looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise.
Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your commands.
I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your commands.
It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken.
Truly, I love your commandments more than gold and more than fine gold.
Truly, I direct my steps by your commands. I hate every false way.
Your commands are wonderful, therefore I obey them.
The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding, sorry, to the simple. Thank you, Jesus.
You get what you get.
I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands.
Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name.
Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts.
May your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your words.
Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed.
Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are your commands.
The commands you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy.
My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words.
Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it.
Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts.
Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight.
The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
I call with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your commands.
I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes.
Interested to see who's getting the next one.
What verse is it?
147.
I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. Come on.
I stay awake throughout the night thinking about your promise.
In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your commands.
Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law.
Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true.
Long ago I learned from your commands that you establish them to last forever.
Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law.
Defend my cause and redeem me, preserving my life according to your promise.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees.
Your compassion is great, O Lord. Renew my life according to your judgments.
My antagonists are too many to count, but I don't swerve from the directions you gave.
I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word.
See how I love your commands. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your love.
The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever.
Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word.
Je fais ma joie de ta parole, comme celui qui trouve un grand trésor.
Je hais, je déteste le mensonge, j'aime ta loi.
7 times a day I praise you for your righteous judgment.
Grande pace hanno quelli che amano la tua parola, e non c'è nulla che possa farli cadere.
I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands.
I obey your commands, for I love them greatly.
I obey your commands, and your commands for all my ways are known to you.
May my cry come before you, O Lord, and give me understanding according to your word.
May my supplication come before you, deliver me according to your promise.
May my lips overflow of praise, for you teach me your commands.
May my tongue sing of your words, for all your commands are righteous.
Que ta main me soit en aide, car j'ai choisi tes ordonnances.
I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your word is my delight.
Let me live that I may praise you, and may your command, judgment sustain me.
I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Right now, I want you all to stand, to keep your books open. Now, all of you have had at least one verse, some of you two. I want you just to look at those verses again. And I want you to pray over those verses now, because they are a word from God to you. Okay, and in one or two of them, you know, there's a negative statement that somebody has done this, that, or the other to you, and then there's the positive statement. But just take hold of the positive statement, not the negative one. And just pray over that and ask God to seal that word in your heart. Especially those of you that are going out now to placements in the coming weeks, that you will remember this word every day. So you keep your focus on his will and his command. So just pray, and pray in the Spirit, pray over your life. Just ask God to seal this in you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.